Next week we're going to be starting a new series, but this week we're finishing off. We've done several studies in the Book of Acts, so we're going to just finish that off today, looking at the end of Acts chapter 2. So here's today's reading.
Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Let's pray. Lord God, we pray that you will help us to receive from your word today. Pray that you will speak to us. And I pray that you will inspire us to respond in a practical way to what we hear. In Jesus' name, amen. So I was talking recently to somebody from our church. I'm not going to say who it was, and they might not even remember the conversation, but we were talking about this whole process that we're going through at the moment of resuming some of our face-to-face meetings after so many months of just meeting online. And the person I was talking to was kind of musing about this. And they said something like, back to church life. Church life feels like quite a different thing from being a Christian somehow. That's probably not their exact words, but it was something along those lines. Church life feels like quite a different thing from being a Christian. Now, it was a throwaway comment, really, and I didn't think much about it at the time. But then the next day, it just came into my mind again, and I was kind of mulling it over, and I thought, if that's the case, then I think there's perhaps something wrong. Something's got a bit mixed up. Something's got a bit out of place. Maybe we aren't quite getting things right somewhere along the line. Because church life and being a Christian shouldn't really be two separate things. They should be intimately bound up together. And this passage that we just heard Sue reading from the Book of Acts is all about people basically figuring out how to be a Christian. And it's the same thing as figuring out how to be church. It's super, super early in the Jesus movement. It comes just after Peter's sermon at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit had been poured out and 3,000 people have suddenly accepted Jesus and been baptised. And so you've suddenly got this growing church of 3,000 believers. But it's so early in the history of the church that the name Christian hasn't even been invented yet. Luke just calls them the believers. He doesn't have a name for them yet. Now, of course, we're in a completely different place to those people in Acts. We're 2,000 years down the line. We're actually living in what you might call a post-Christian context, not a pre-Christian Jewish context as they were. We've got 2,000 years of history, tradition, institutions, organisations, theology, and a lot of strife behind us. So what happened then isn't necessarily going to map on directly to us right now. But what this passage does is it gives us such an attractive picture of a spirit-filled group of believers. It's a group of believers where you can just really see the hallmarks of God at work. And it's a group of people that I look at and I think, well, if I'd been there in first century Jerusalem, then I think I would have wanted to be part of that. I would have wanted to join those people. They would have been where it was at, the place to be. I want to be where God's at work. And of course, that's what happened. That's what happened. In verse 47, we're told The Lord added to their number every day those who are being saved. He added to their number every day people who were coming to believe in Jesus. So as the Spirit works in and through these early Christians, what we notice is that they engage in some practices. There's a few things that they do. And in fact, it says they devote themselves to these things. And this word devote, it's got connotations of persisting, persevering, steadfastly continuing. These are practices that they do, and they do them regularly, and they do them together. And it's part of being church. It's part of being believers. What do you devote yourself to? What do I devote myself to? What do we as a church devote ourselves to? I just want to have a look at these four practices in verse 42 and see what we can learn from them. They devoted themselves, it says, to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. So first of all, the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, who were the apostles? The apostles were the ones who had been with Jesus. They were the ones who had heard him preach, heard him teach, seen his miracles. Their teaching was about Jesus. It was about who he was, what he said, what he did, his commands, his miracles, his life, his death, his resurrection. And the people, the believers, they devoted themselves to listening to that teaching, to learning from that teaching, and to putting it into practice. They were devoted to that. I want us to be a learning church. Sometimes as Christians, we can stop learning, or we can end up learning the wrong things by default. We can leave our Bibles to get dusty on the shelf. We can think, oh, we know enough to get by. We learnt that in Sunday school. But if we do that, then the stuff that we hear on the radio, the stuff we see on the TV, the stuff we absorb from the internet, the stuff that comes on our smartphones, the conversations we have, that becomes the main story we're living in. Instead of the story of God and the story of what God is doing through Jesus and through the Holy Spirit. And our faith just becomes a hobby, or a memory, or something we just do on a Sunday. To keep our faith alive, we need to dwell in the Word of God. We need to live in the story of Jesus. We need to chew it over. We need to discuss it with others. The Spirit of God is dancing in the pages of the Bible. It's alive. The Word of God is living and active. It's not just about listening to sermons, although obviously I think that's a good thing usually. It's about reading it together, discerning what God is saying to us through it, daring maybe to ask the hard questions, wrestling with the bits we don't like, sitting with it, dwelling with it, as I say, praying with it. And we've got loads of resources today for this. We've got books, we've got apps, we've got Bible reading notes, we've got podcasts, we've got study Bibles. We don't have the apostles living with us today, but we've got our Bible and we've got so many resources to help us. If you don't know where to start, or you don't have much time, or you struggle with reading, there's stuff out there that can help you. Just come and perhaps talk to me and we can point you in the right direction. But this is a real challenge to all of us. How are we engaging with the scripture, with the living, dancing, active Word of God? How are we learning? How are we learning together to keep our faith alive together? I want us to be a learning church. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And then the next thing it says is that they devoted themselves to fellowship. They devoted themselves, in other words, to one another. They devoted themselves to the common life that they shared together. Now, this was not just some fake smiles, Sunday only, brotherly love, and then avoid one another in the street on Monday thing. This was real. And we know this because they put their money where their mouths were. This was radical commitment to one another. And it's really, really challenging and quite controversial. So in verses 44 and 45, it says this. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And then in verse 46, they broke bread together in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Well, you might think, oh, that all sounds like it's going a bit too far, pooling their property. But before we just dismiss this way of life as something kind of irrelevant to our context, let's just feel the challenge of it for a moment. Let's just allow ourselves to feel that radical challenge of these verses. Because what is behind these verses is a deep, deep commitment to one another. They loved one another and cared for one another. They weren't going to let someone in the fellowship go hungry or struggle. So if someone had no money and was going hungry, somebody else went and sold a field so that they had enough money to feed them. The Spirit was working in them and through them. And so that made people willing to be generous. It meant that they weren't just clinging to what they had. It meant that they were caring for one another, providing for one another's needs. It made them generous. It made them hospitable people. And they were always meeting up. They were in and out of one another's houses. They were always eating together, sharing a meal, meeting up at the temple. No one was allowed to be lonely. No one was allowed to be in need. I want us to be a loving church. I want us to be a generous church, a hospitable church. At the Last Supper, Jesus commanded over and over again to his disciples that they should love one another. It's like he just kept saying it. Love one another, love one another, love one another. The kind of love that lays down your life for your friends. John 13:34, he said this, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Jesus has commanded us to love one another in the same way that he loved us. That's really hard. But it's not a love that clings to what we have, whether that be money or time or status or stuff. It's not a love that holds back. It's not a love that only gives according to what it receives. It's a love that is generous. It's a love that pours itself out. It's a love that lays itself down. It's a Jesus kind of love. And we're called to love one another that way. It's really, really challenging, isn't it? How might we do it? How might we do it? I'll leave that with you. And even more challenging, what about our brothers and sisters around the world? We've been praying for Louise and Peter Lynch in Bangladesh. People who are destitute, people who are suffering, people who have literally nothing. How do we love them? They're part of us too. They're part of the body of Christ too. How do we do it? But I want us to be a loving church. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the fellowship. And they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. Now, there's some questions as to whether this is talking about what we call communion, the Lord's Supper, sharing bread and wine in worship as we do, or whether it's talking more generally about eating together and sharing meals together. Well, I think it can actually refer to both things. But I'm going to focus here on the Lord's Supper, on communion, on bread and wine. Why is communion so important? In our church meeting, Wendy spoke about how communion, sharing communion together, is one of the things she's really missed during this time of COVID. And hopefully it's something we can begin to do again face to face before too long. When we share bread and wine together. What are we doing? What we're doing is we are bearing witness to Jesus at the heart of everything we do. We're declaring together that Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Communion resets our compass to true north. It reminds us who we are, why we gather, whom we serve. It reminds us that at the centre of our faith is a body broken on a cross, blood shed for the forgiveness of sins, and an empty tomb which symbolises our new life in him. Jesus, the Messiah, the suffering Saviour, the Son of God. I want us to be a church where the bread and the cup are at the centre of our life together. A church which is oriented towards Jesus, which proclaims his death and resurrection, which worships him, and where we meet together as we share bread and wine. I want us to be that kind of church. A learning church, a loving church, and a church which is centred on Jesus. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to fellowship. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. And then fourthly, they devoted themselves to prayer. Well, actually, what the Greek says, it says the prayers. They devoted themselves to the prayers. And we know from the beginning of Acts chapter 3 that Peter and John were actually participating in the regular temple prayers which were going on and happened at certain times every day. And what this suggests to me is that these spirit-filled early Christians had a rhythm of prayer. They planned to pray, and they regulated their lives by particular moments of prayer where they consciously turned their hearts several times a day in God's direction, in worship and praise and petition and confession. I think this whole passage that Sue read for us provides us with a lovely mixture of the formal and the planned on one hand, and the informal and spontaneous on the other hand. So we have the prayer gatherings at the temple, the prayers, and then we also have the spontaneous moments of praise that burst out when they're eating together in one another's homes. They meet both at the temple and in homes, and sometimes prayer is formal and planned, and sometimes prayer just erupts, their praise erupts as they eat together and share together. And I think we need that. We need that in our prayer lives too. We need a framework, a rhythm, times each day or each week or both when we deliberately turn our faces towards God, morning, lunchtime, bedtime, read a psalm, say the Lord's Prayer, listen to a devotional app like something like Lectio 365. If you live with someone, maybe join with them once a day to say some prayers together, or before or after a meal to lift your hearts up to God. Come to the Wednesday prayer meetings that we have as a church. Come to our Sunday church gatherings. If we have an intentional, regular rhythm of prayer, punctuating our days, turning us again and again back to God, then we're more likely to turn our hearts to God in between those times. Perhaps when we're driving, when we're washing up, or like Bill last week, walking through Penrose Woods, walking our dog. We need both. We need both the planned times, the rhythm, and also those times in between when our lives and our hearts just lift towards God spontaneously, praising him or asking him for help or pouring out our hearts. It's going to look different for you than for me. It's going to look different for all of us. But why not establish your own rhythm of prayer every day, every week? I want us to be a prayerful church, a learning church, a loving and generous church, a Jesus-centred, Jesus-worshipping church, a prayerful church. If we can embrace these four practices as the Spirit works in our church, as the Spirit works in and through our lives, then I pray that we will become a church where church life and being a Christian become much, much more intimately bound up together. They become much, much more like one another, not so far apart. And I want to be a church where, like those people in verse 43, we will look with awe and wonder at the amazing things that God is doing in our midst. And people will look at us and say, yes, I want some of that. I want to be part of that. So that more and more people will choose to follow Jesus and join with this amazing adventure of following him day by day. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we pray that we can be a church which devotes ourselves to the right things. And we pray that where each one of us has perhaps devoted ourselves to things we shouldn't have, we pray that we can repent and turn to you and ask for your forgiveness, because that is idolatry. Help us to devote ourselves to you. And Lord, we pray for each one of us that you will lead us and guide us. Lead us and guide us into how we can devote ourselves to this amazing word that you have given us, this amazing scripture, to one another in love and fellowship, to the bread and the cup. And to prayer. Lord God, we know that we need your Holy Spirit to strengthen us and to help us, to come alongside us, to lead us and guide us. We can't do these things by ourselves in our own strength, but we know that when your Spirit works with us, there's nothing that you can't do in our lives, Lord. So we lift ourselves and our church to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.